And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is Wednesday, October 26, 2016. 1:14 coming up on 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as all of you know, we are 13 days away from the big election day, November 8th, 2016. A lot going on, certainly nationally, which you hear about every day. Statewide, you catch that as well. And locally, we have a lot going on. So, all that being said, we thought, well, we'll start on the local level here, bring in a Republican and a Democrat and discuss these issues of importance over the next 45 minutes. From the Republican Party, we have Tanner Hale, and from the Democratic Party, we have Steve Chafin. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Now, I want to get right into this because with 45 minutes, there's a lot of ground to cover because there's a lot going on locally that we haven't spent much time on except for the League of Women Voters last week. So we'll hold national to the end, we'll put state in the middle, and we'll start out here locally. Now, three big races this year after doing the League of Women Voters that generated the most questions last week were the Clerk of Courts race, the Sheriff's race, and the Prosecutor's race. And all three of those races have independent challengers. Steve, what is your reasoning that independents have come out of the woodwork this year in local races?
Well, let me try to think here for a minute. Ron Scheider, who's running as an independent, probably wouldn't have been embraced by either party had he ran in either party's primary. He's a former Democrat. I don't know if he says he's still a Democrat now, but he's leaned Republican, switched back and forth. So, plus, of course, the Democrats have our incumbent Tim Bailey, so we wouldn't have welcomed a primary challenge. I don't know about the Republicans. I assume they wouldn't have welcomed a challenge in that race as well. With respect to the clerk's race, that's a little more interesting. We, of course, looked for a candidate. There's many people in the community that are not satisfied with the clerk of court and her operation. There was discussions early on that possibly we would even consider endorsing Mr. Stotts when Chris Kasotis came forward and offered him himself.
Who is the Democratic candidate?
Yes, he's a Democratic nominee.
So is the party not happy with the Democratic candidate?
Well, I'm not going to comment one way or the other. I'm just giving you the background, how that might have happened. Chris was not recruited by the party. He basically said, I'd like to do this, and so that's how he came aboard. That's how we had a three-way race there, because I think Tom is technically a Republican, or was a Republican, but
he is.
I've talked to him many times. I know Tom well, and he's... We're going to have disagreements about party philosophy. I don't think Tom is his background is consistent with being a very strong Republican. I think he's very moderate, very neutral. That's why he ran as an independent. The other race, the prosecutor's race. Okay, well, that's also very interesting. Mr. Edwards is a Republican.
A Republican.
Well, I think he's still listed on the rolls, maybe.
He's an independent.
Okay. Well, you probably know better than I do, Tanner. But he ran as a Republican against Judge Finnegan, and he was going to run in the Republican primary against Mr. Yeager. Mr. Yeager, who's not really a Republican, who was a Democrat.
I would agree with that.
And ran as an independent in 2008 and in 2012, but got wind that Mr. Edwards might run as a Republican, decided he better run in a Republican primary to knock him out. Edwards found that out and decided, well, I'll just run as an independent.
So the prosecutor's race, the Republican's a Democrat, and the independent's a Republican.
Well, Scott,
we have a Democrat in the race, right?
Mark Russell's the Democrat,
Mark, right?
Russell is a true blue Democrat, been a Democrat all his life as far as I know. So. But it gets complicated, you know. It is interesting to have these three-way races, and we've had them before in Marion County, and it does give people a lot of choices. So I urge people to go vote.
Tanner, why do you think we have three-way races locally?
Well, I think a lot of independents, you know, feel that in a presidential race, the voter turnout is a lot more high, and they can reach more people that are willing to go to the middle. Obviously, the race is kind of, you know, suctioned up between the two parties, and a lot of people feel that an independent candidate or a Libertarian or Green Party candidate kind of gets crowded out because people think that only two candidates can win. And you know, I think that's a general notion across the country, but I do feel that in the local races, people are willing to support candidates that represent their values and their principles and what they believe is going to be what it takes to, you know, fulfill the job duties. And that's why I think we have so many independent candidates. You know, we have Scheider, who's a former sheriff. You see on the signs it says return Scheider, not reelect or even elect. But, you know, I think that's kind of the appeal, is that he believes that one day, he'll be able to return to the sheriff's office, back under the pretenses that he was in the 80s. And I think that it's kind of an inclination for a lot of independents to run, because they feel that the voter turnout is going to be so high that they'd be willing to come to the middle.
Let me ask this, just on quick terms here. Give me a quick yes or no from both of you. Can any of these three independents, in your mind, win because they don't have party support?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Who?
Tom Edwards.
You think Tom Edwards will be the new prosecutor?
Yes.
Is that bad because you're a Republican and the incumbent's a Republican, but you don't believe he's a Republican?
Well, I mean, his entire life he's been a Democrat, and I don't think he's really governed on conservative principles, and I think that Mr. Chafin would agree with me on those. And I think we both recognize we both need a change in the prosecutor's office, which is why we do back two different candidates, but I do believe that Tom Edwards is the most experienced, and I think that he's most qualified to take over the job title as Marion County prosecutor.
We'll come here in a second. Any chance for Ron Scheider?
No.
Any chance for Tom Stotts?
Possibility, but not likely.
Okay, Steve, same question. Can any of these independents win? And if so, who?
I said yes, and I think it's Mr. Stotts, and I'll tell you why. It's because I think a lot of Republicans are also dissatisfied with the current clerk of court. We have both our common pleas court judges who normally don't get involved have basically come out and supported Tom. People know Tom. He's done a great job down at the city probation department. Julie just doesn't seem to be able to get the job done. There's been a lot of dissatisfaction, and obviously Chris is a little inexperienced. So I think that's one race where the independent could run.
If the independent wins in the clerk of court's race, is the Democratic Party happy?
Well, I can't speak for the entire party. I would be happy because I just want to see an improvement over there, and Tom will definitely bring some changes that are needed. And I, as an attorney who work in the system, it would be helpful to get some more efficiencies created in that office.
Can Edwards win prosecutor?
I would say no, and the reason why is that you've got two well-established political figures with Brent and Mark. I just think they'll take more than 70% of the vote, and that would basically keep Mr. Edwards from getting the numbers he needed. So
blowback against Mark because he is a sitting law director, and people don't like that when you're just going to go back to another government job if you lose this one.
You know, actually what that spin is, Scott, they think Mark's doing such a great job at the city, they hate to see him leave. That's really what we hear.
Can Scheider win? We'll get there. Can Scheider win?
I want to talk in general about what I'm going to call the Trump effect. And this is a perfect example where the Trump effect could make a big difference. Donald Trump has stirred up enough fringe elements of the political spectrum, people who normally don't get involved just because they're angry and they don't know where to vent at. If that vote turns out, it's possible somebody like Ron could get swept in because he's appealing to that same kind of, I would call it the know-nothings. Back in the 1840s, they had a group called the know-nothings who didn't really have a policy. They were just mad at everything, and that's what these people are.
Is there a fear of Ron Scheider in the Democratic Party?
A fear?
A fear that he could defeat Bailey.
Well, you always take elections seriously, and, the three-way race, Tim's going to have to campaign hard, which he's doing, but he's done a good job. I think people know that. So,
fear in the Republican Party that Scheider could defeat Blau?
No.
No. Oh, none at all. So really the only – nobody really – Scheider could win, but he's the least likely of the three third-party candidates. Is that what we're saying?
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Now, that being said, I want to ask another question, then we'll get to these personal issues with Edwards, because they're very interesting. Yeager is – our current prosecutor is a Republican on the ballot. Edwards – obviously has more we believe has more Republican philosophies. I don't know if we're determined on that or not. Does the fact that they are both in the same race possibly split the vote and get Mark Russell in?
Not necessarily, because I think a lot of people across the county recognize that Brent Yeager isn't getting the job done, and I think there's a clear consensus on both sides of the party that he's not doing it, or else Mark Russell wouldn't have filed. Would I have that correct, Mr. Chafin?
Mark wants to do more for the community. He's made a couple of important issues, like the fact that we didn't have tax collections for 3 years. That hurts the entire community, hurts property values, hurts school districts. Also, the fact that we are the burglary capital of the state of Ohio.
Correct.
More has to be done.
I would ask just a similar question here, and then we can come to that. We're coming right to that after this question. In the sheriff's race, a fear that Bailey clearly the Democrat, and Scheider was a Democratic sheriff, split the vote, and Blau gets in just because the vote is split.
You know, I don't think Ron's taken votes from Tim. I think he's probably taken votes more from Scott. Like I said, the Trump effect is undermining the Republican base. They don't know what to do with these people. They got them started. They got the Tea Party started because it was a great tool, and now they're out of control. So just like with Mr. Edwards' vote, a lot of that same base is supporting Mr. Edwards.
It seems like what we want to talk about is the prosecutor's race.
And I don't think, I mean, I think that you're trying to fight this on both ends. I mean, on one hand, we're saying that Edwards is going to suck up Yeager votes because he's a Republican, but we're not acknowledging that Ron Schreider, even though he's a Democrat, won't take it from Bailey. I think we just want to.
Ron's not a Democrat.
And Tom Edwards has made it explicitly clear that he's not a Republican. He feels that the brand has been tainted, which is why, I mean, he's a conservative and he believes he believes in conservative values, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he identifies as a Republican.
Tanner, did you ever watch Ron's TV programs?
Yes, I did.
Did you ever see many Democrats on there?
No.
Who did you see?
No, and I don't necessarily think that Ron Schreider is a Democrat, and I never implied that he was. But, okay. I mean, yeah, if the notion is that he was once a Democrat, as if Edwards was once a Republican, you know, we can't necessarily say that because Tom Edwards was once a Republican, he's going to take away votes from Yeager. But on the same token, say that Schreider cannot take votes from Bailey because he's not a Democrat, though he once was a Democrat.
He can't take any votes. But
the knife cuts both ways, Mr. Chafin.
What has this campaign been about? I'm going to bring change to the sheriff's office. I'm going to end the drug problem single-handedly. It sounds like Donald Trump to me.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily Donald Trump that there is a large change vote in Marion. And the thing about Marion is we typically hug our problems a lot. And that's something a lot of the candidates last year run for city council, as well as myself, did, is that there is a large change vote. People recognize what's going on in Marion. And people know what the problems are, and they know what it takes to have those comprehensive solutions come forward. And that's why I think that there is such a large change vote. You have so many candidates coming out of the woodwork that want to campaign on the change message because they truly do believe that there needs to be a change, and that what those changes are kind of verse, but there is a change vote out there.
The change vote, I believe in the last election, only two offices flipped in the end. Yours came very close, Tanner, obviously. That was a close race, absolutely. But only two flipped.
Right.
Is that a big change wave?
No. In the council at large, the prior election, I think it must have been 2013, we didn't have that many candidates run at large. That's why the Democrats got. But normally, historically, there's always two of one party and one of the other. So that was no big deal. The Fifth Ward race was the only one where there was some real change. And it was only because John, either his mother got sick, his brother got sick, he couldn't campaign. But
sure.
There was not that much change. And the problem was I didn't really hear what their program was to change other than just to change.
As a candidate, I'd be more than happy to elaborate on what we could change.
And I'm coming to you with this, Tanner. When a Democratic mayor in Marion, Ohio, wins re-election by a large margin, people would consider it a landslide. And I think if you would poll people, I'm not sure, but if you would poll, they'd say, what are the two most primary elected officials in Marion County? I think they would say mayor and sheriff. If I'm wrong, give me your opinion, but maybe prosecutor. But that being said, if the mayor wins, a Democratic mayor wins by such a large margin, does that mean Bailey has an edge in his race?
Not necessarily. Look, Scherzer is a popular guy. I mean, I fundamentally disagree with his policies, and I don't think he's a very good mayor. But nonetheless, he is a popular guy. He gets along with everybody. Everyone sees him at the Y, and it's a good time. Everyone loves him. I mean, heck, when I was in high school, I thought he was a cool guy to hang around. And then,
who's the cuddly bear in this sheriff's race? I sat next to him at the League of Women Voters. I was right next to him.
Well,
who's the lovable guy? Who's the personable guy that you may not agree with their politics?
Did you watch who smiled the most? Tim.
I want your opinion.
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily wrong. I mean, I do support Scott Blau, and I think he'll be a great sheriff, and I think he has the experience to do it. I mean, I don't have any issues with Tim Bailey's, you know, personality and who he is as a person. I think Tim Bailey's a great guy. Once again, it's about electing candidates up and down the ticket we think that are going to do the best job in the office, and that's why I think Scott Blau should be the next sheriff, and I'm going to continuously back him. But, I mean, Tim Bailey is a guy you can hang around. He's a guy you can get a beer with. I can't get a beer with him, but
not yet.
On July 22nd, I might take Tim Bailey up on that.
I'll buy you your first beer.
Thanks, Dave. I might hold you to that.
No problem.
Because this is a presidential year, this is very interesting. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. There will be a larger turnout than there is every 4 years. Now, there will be a lot of people who turn out for the presidential election who really don't know much about any other election on that ballot. Will those people, the people who turn out for Donald Trump, are they just going to mark the R's because they don't know anything about the local politics? And the people who vote for Hillary Clinton, are they just going to mark the D's? Could that happen?
There's a huge, well, either one. There's a huge down ballot defection that goes on. We've scored people based upon that. And they do tend, especially as you get like the Supreme Court and those candidates, they don't know, we don't even have a contested judicial race this year. Incumbents are not contested. So there is that danger. But there may be one or two races like the sheriff's race and the county prosecutor's race that will stir up enough attention. We've got a lot of yard signs out, a lot of debate going on. We'll get some of those votes. So we're going after those votes.
Go ahead, Dana.
Well, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, where I said independents can win this race. And I don't necessarily think that Donald Trump voters are going to vote down ballot Republican. I think that there's going to be a base that do, but Republicans are better at voting down ballot than Democrats are. I mean, Democrats are more likely to vote at the top of the ticket and leave the ballot box. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily right or wrong, but I do say that you have a lot of Donald Trump voters who traditionally have been Democrats or independents, and maybe it's a reassurance that they're not going to vote all R's because they feel that would make them a Republican. So I think they are willing to take a shot at some independents.
Overall, people who voted last year, not the exact number because I don't have it either, but how many people turned out to vote last year in Marion County?
And around 2015.
2015.
Well, I would say probably close to 10,000.
10,000.
Yeah, about 11,000 to 12,000. Yeah.
And expected because of president this year?
About 27, maybe 28.
More than double. More than double.
I've predicted more, 28, 29, maybe even 30. The absentee ballot requests through this county have been phenomenal.
They're through the roof. The walk-ins and the absentees are through the roof.
Sure. And 5,000 people on the first day of early voting requested an absentee ballot. That's 1/6 of what we project to be the universe.
The only difference, Tanner, is Secretary Husted has made a real push, and so have we, because it helps a lot if people vote early. We don't have the crunch on election day, and you know, people like to socialize at the polling location. So we really encourage people to go vote. You can vote every day now, between now and the election, even Saturday and Sunday.
I cast my ballot on October 12th, the first day of early voting.
I was the first voter.
See, I like to go out and get the cookies that day where I vote.
You and I always run into each other the first day of voting.
I like to go out and get the cookies on the day I vote at the polling place.
Nothing
I like to go
wrong
to
with that,
o'clock.
Scott. But
it gives me a feel of what's going to happen.
I understand.
Honestly,
and people say that. People say that.
You know, and I have, I have spent, you know, since December, I'm more focused on local races now, but since December, working for the Ohio Republican Party and working for the Republican National Committee's victory team, and while I'm currently not in that capacity because I'm focusing more on the local races and helping with the down ballot stuff, I recognized, you know, what's going on all across the state. I was a staffer for Franklin, Delaware County, where I covered all of Columbus and all of those areas for, helping with the Trump campaign and the U.S. Senate campaign, as well as some of the county and congressional and state house races. But, you know, as we continue to go on through that, and I commend, you know, Secretary Husted for the amazing job he has pushed to make access to the ballot very accessible, which is something that Democrats have echoed as something that he hasn't done. And he's the first Secretary of State in the history of Ohio that's mailed a statewide absentee ballot to all voters. You don't get really more access to the ballot than that.
I know this will be hard, but I really want you to set party aside here for a second, because we have said that independents could win. We have said that Democrats could win. We've said that Republicans could win. I'm going to ask you who you think will win. And don't just give me your party.
For which race?
We'll go through them all locally. Just who you think will win. Steve, who's going to win for sheriff?
Okay, I think Tim will win. I think it could be very close. Ron will take a considerable amount of votes. So depending on the turnout, all these races, maybe close races, are going to depend on turnout. If those Trump voters turn out, that will help Ron. And I think he does take quite a few votes from Tim, some of those disgruntled, you know, people who would normally vote Democratic. So it's just going to depend on turnout, but I still think Tim will pull it off.
Tanner, who do you think will win?
The sheriff's race, I think it's going to be too close to call between all three. I mean, we even saw in the county commission race in 2012 with Al Gruber that when an independent enters a local race, it's very close, which kind of, you know, signifies why independents want to jump in local races, because, you know, people are willing to vote for a candidate that they recognize the name. I think it's going to be close. I'm going to continue to push Scott Plow, and I think that he has a plausible chance to win, which is why I believe he'll be the next sheriff.
But you think any of them could at this point?
Yes.
Okay. But you don't think Scheider will?
No.
Because earlier on you said you didn't think he had a chance.
No, I don't really see a formidable path to him winning, but I guess you can say that when an independent enters the race, I mean, it's likely that he's not going to win. I mean, I'm not trying to muddy the waters. I just think that, you know, Scheider doesn't have a legitimate chance to win. I think a lot of Marion citizens are kind of frustrated by his rhetoric, and I think he has a lot of damage to, you know, his past.
But you think Bailey could?
Yes, I mean, obviously, okay. He's a 16-year incumbent.
Right now, you know, it's a close race, and the presidential is almost tied. If things change and either Hillary pushes forward in the next few days or Trump pushes forward, that could have an impact on turnout. Okay. So if Hillary pushes forward, then that's going to help the Democrats and help Tim. If Trump pushes forward, that could help Ron or even Scott.
Steve, who's going to win the prosecutor race?
Well, I have a lot of faith in Mark. I've worked with him for 25 years. I know him very well. He's committed to the job. If Mr. Edwards can pull more votes, and again, the turnout, he'll take a lot of votes, I think, from the Republican base. And just like Tanner's mentioned, there's a lot of Republicans that are dissatisfied with Brandt. So I'm going to say Mark.
I'm going to say Tom Edwards, and I think that a lot of voters are going to walk into the ballot box, as they already have, and realize Mark Russell filed to run for office before he was even sworn into his next office. And I think that frustrates a lot of citizens. So I think that Tom Edwards is going to win this prosecutor race. He's worked the hardest out of all the candidates, and he's the most qualified. He's the most experienced, and Mark Russell has never prosecuted a felony in his life, and that's going to. I think people want to see a candidate that's actually prosecuted felonies. They don't want a rookie prosecuting their cases unless their house. Yeah.
They don't want a rookie. But neither one of you said the current prosecutor is getting back in there.
He's not.
Okay,
I'm not going to say it's not possible. I don't want to exclude. Yeah. He is the incumbent.
If you're a betting man, would you say Brent Yeager goes back to the office?
Probably not. I'm not going
to. Brent, I hope you're not listening to this show. There's always hope.
There's always hope. Brent, you're still a friend.
You've seen Brent the last couple of weeks. He looks pretty dejected. He looked pretty dejected at the league vote at the league night. So
yeah,
he might know more than we know.
Clerk of Courts.
Well, that's going to be an interesting one, too, because I think Julie could actually squeak back in there. I'm hopeful that Tom will win, but I think Julie could squeak back in there because I think Chris will take a lot of votes from
people. So you think the Republican could win?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I think that someone would be clinically insane to rule out Julie Cagle. I mean, she's a multi-term incumbent. In the same way, Tim Bailey's a multi-term incumbent.
She took a lot of heat, though, at the League of Women Voters.
She did.
A lot of heat.
She did, but at the end of the day, I mean, Julie's very popular out in the county, which is a reliable base for the Republican Party, and Mr. Chafin recognizes that. And I think that Julie Cagle does get reelected. I voted for Julie because she's a friend, and I think that she'll do a good job, and she's certainly been in the office for a while, and she's going to continue to do what she thinks that she needs to do.
Hopefully this will be a wake-up call to her own. She'll kind of get things more organized.
I think every candidate up and down the ballot took this as a wake-up call. So.
This is very strange because both of you describing that said that you felt that Julie Cagle had a lot of trouble and took the most heat at the debate, but you both also agree that she'll be reelected.
I didn't say that. I'm thinking she has a good shot at it because the opposition to the incumbent vote is so split.
Who's second?
I think Stotts will be second.
I agree.
So the Democrat in this has no shot.
He's inexperienced. Like I say, he's young. Yeah. But, I mean, I encourage young people to get involved. We encourage people.
Well, of course. I'm the last person to say that young people shouldn't be running for office. But I think at the end of the day, it does come down to ideas and visions and values and principles. And Chris is a friend. Him and I go to school together at Ohio State.
Family name going to mean anything?
It'll mean quite a bit, yeah.
Oh, I mean, the last name Kasotis runs very well, and I love his family. Chris Kasotis has an amazing family. I love George Kasotis, and Joan is a sweet lady. I love her to death, and I think that Chris is a very good guy. I don't think he wins this race, but
he'll be back probably race someday.
I can't attest to what the Democratic Party thinks of Chris Kasotis, and I don't know what the perception is inside that party. I can only attest to how people feel about Julie and the Republican Party, and I think that her standing as being a long-term incumbent gets her reelected.
There are two other races that we have not talked about, and honestly, even at the League of Women Voters, the questions were very tame in the two commissioner races we have. So we'll just go through here, and if you want to say something about either one of these races, say it, and then give me your prediction. We're talking Andy Apfelfeller, the incumbent, against Lynn Thomas.
I'll let you go first, Steve.
Both men are qualified. Lynn has been former commissioner. He's been active in the business community. Andy, the only thing I would say about Andy, he's been there quite a while. I think Andy's even talked about that. You know, eventually he'll move on. Maybe the question would be, do you have the energy, Andy, to continue doing what you're doing and try to promote Marion County? So
let's set the record straight. Lynn Thomas will not be the next commissioner.
That's a solid one. You'll take that one to Atlantic City, Las Vegas.
Absolutely. There is not a race I'm more confident in. I'm very confident in Tom's race, but also Andy Appelfeller's race. And Andy will win re-election. He's very popular in the community. He's very active and very vocal across all the communities in Marion County. Andy will get re-elected. Lynn Thomas will not be elected.
Is Lynn going to make it, Steve?
You know, a lot of people know Andy. He's been around a long time. Lynn's been around a long time, too, but it's probably not going to happen for us. You're right. It's probably not going to happen.
Final, Dan Russell and Kerr Murray.
I'm as confident about Dan's race as he is about Andy's race. Dan is going to clobber his opponent. He had the best night of all the candidates there at the league night, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Russell's a very good man.
Dan
Russell's a very good man, yes. And Kerr Murray is running, you know, is this the third time he's tried to run? And I like Kerr. Kerr's a great guy. He's a great family man. You know, I appreciate his service in the United States military, and I can, you know, look at that. I mean, I don't know the body of work he's laid into. I think it wouldn't really be professional to say that Dan Russell doesn't have a reasonable chance to get back in the county commission.
He's even reached out to Republicans, so he's done such a good job.
Oh, sure.
Everybody in the county is going to.
And Dan Russell's built.
Kerr's a nice guy.
Sure.
I think he's maybe, you know, not really up to the job at this point.
So we're pretty sure.
Yeah. And I think Kerr would be a great county commissioner. Don't get me wrong. I you know, and Dan Russell has built some phenomenal coalitions all across Marion County, and I think that's going. I think that certainly gives him a realistic chance to be reelected. I mean,
you get one, and I get one, right?
So on everybody gets one.
So the way we sound here, the three races where we have three people running, it seems to be up in the air. But in the commissioners' races, which seemingly this time have gotten the least amount of attention, that on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, the same three people are going to be sitting
most
there
likely.
Coming
yeah.
November.
People
10th.
Don't pay attention. It's hard to generate interest, and I've counseled many commissioner candidates. You go out and talk, what do the commissioners do? Oh, we don't know. I mean, people don't pay attention to what goes on at the commissioners' offices, really.
We're already down, but you know what? I covered them for a long. I wish more people did go to the meetings.
Well, me too.
Because they're fascinating
sure.
meetings, but with 18 minutes left and we haven't even got out of the local thing here yet, I did want to ask this question. And let's get the skinny on this, because we have heard that the media does not poll locally, but we have heard snippings and blah, blah, blahs and this and that polls have been taken within the parties in these races. Has that happened, Steve?
I don't know of any poll on our side. I understand the Republicans have polled.
Tanner, do you understand
how reliable these polls are? You know, I would say this is probably the least reliability we've had in polling ever.
We do have polls.
We do. And what are those?
I will not share the polls because
why are they hidden?
They're not necessarily hidden because we're not trying to be transparent. That's between the candidates, and it's not at my discretion to share some of the polling information. It's not my call to do it. So
right, I understand. But did it look good for the Republicans?
I think that there's a lot of candidates are in striking distance to win.
The rumors we hear was the closest race is the sheriff's race.
Well, that was
and
there
that,
was
that's the one they're kind of focusing on.
There was I this is not me. This is what we heard in the media roundup. That the poll was taken by the Republicans, it showed Scheider winning, and that's why the FOP last week came out with that scathing letter on Ron Scheider. Whether you want to believe that or not, the letter's out there. Go ahead and read it. Well, is that true?
Well, the FOP has made it abundantly clear, and that's why they took the vote of no confidence, is because they recognize Scheider wouldn't be a good sheriff if we return him. I think I think you have more city police that are willing to go more Blau, and I think a lot of the sheriffs, of course, are going to go towards Tim Bailey, and that's why I think there's such a confliction. There's not going to be an endorsement for the FOP.
But was that a letter of no confidence, which is pretty unprecedented, against a former sheriff, propelled by that poll that was taken?
I you have to ask somebody else. I don't know. I don't know why
did,
it was
did
done.
Scott Blau win that poll?
I can't.
I don't think there's a clear winner in that. That's why they're concerned.
No.
That's why we're concerned.
I can't.
We're going to campaign hard for every vote until November 8th.
Okay. Tanner, this is yours because it's just your question and it's what it is. The head of the Republican Party, has had some problems over the last couple months, and to my knowledge has not left that position yet of being head of the Republican Party in Marion. Is that going to hurt the election, that there is some trouble there and everybody knows it, the media knows it, and is that going to hurt the Republicans?
Well, I've spent the majority of the last 2 months, you know, since we learned more information about Mr. Matthews' case, I've spent a lot of that time in Columbus, you know, campaigning on the presidential side and you know, helping run the U.S. Senate elections and helping with the county prosecutor race down in Franklin County. So I really haven't been that indulged into Marion County Republican politics and what's going on in the confines of the party. I do think voters do care about this issue, and I think that it's an issue that it's damaging. I mean, it showed up on the Marion Star 3-4 straight days, and that hurts. I mean, that's definitely something that voters are going to take into account when they go to cast their ballots.
Being that it did show up in the Marion Star 3-4 days in an election year where there are important races,
it didn't do any favors.
Right. So that being said, because he hasn't resigned, was there hope that he would, because at least he would not be associated with the Republican Party at this time, and somebody else could have been put in there, even interim, going into this?
Like I said, this is a question that I think a lot of different people will have opinions on. I wanted him to resign. I think that it's damaging to the party, and I think that whether this investigation in the midst of it happening was going to lead to a real chance of a potential indictment or findings in it that could have cost him his job. And I don't want to see anyone lose their jobs, and it's very unfortunate. However, I mean, it was damaging. It's explicitly clear that you do not do politics on state time. And
big mistake that he didn't resign his position in Marion.
I think it's a mistake.
Okay.
Well, Scott, we have enough problems with people not having confidence in government at every level. So I could just say I would hope that if something happened like that on our side, that our chair would step down, because it just doesn't inspire people when you have that kind of conduct. And I'm not asking John to do whatever he feels is right, but we want to have confidence in government. We want to make sure people feel, you know, good about decisions that are being made. So this kind of behavior probably is not the best thing, for example, as a party leader.
Let me make one more note, and I do agree with Mr. Chafin here that, I mean, it's so important for both parties to be able to message and be able to advocate for candidates and message and describe our values and why we need to elect those candidates to office. And this is a distraction. This is something that we did not need, and this is something that I believe that the chairman of the party should have addressed a while ago, even if it was something false. Look, I'm not in the business to try to tell people what to do, but I think that, you know, this was his decision, and I think he made the wrong decision, and we'll see what continues to happen as the rest of this unfolds.
Down to 13 minutes, and we should have spent more time on local elections. I'm glad we did, but so we're going to really go through the state really fast, because there seems to be only one that's a big consequence to people right now, and that's the Senate race, Strickland and Portman. And right now, Strickland was here Saturday in Marion, and 13 points, 14 points behind about every poll you look at, double digits at least. Steve, bad news for Governor Strickland?
I just wanted to bring up a fact that many people aren't aware of. I printed this off. Job losses due to President Bush's trade policy. Mr. Portman has made trade his big, you know, I'm all concerned about the working people, blah, blah, blah. He was the trade representative for the United States government during the time George Bush was president. And he's also bashed NAFTA. During the Bush presidency, NAFTA was used as a model to negotiate the Korean Free Trade Agreement, many other CAFTA, many other free trade agreements. It was the same model they used while they lost almost $2 million jobs from companies going overseas. So, you know, he's really been hypocritical when he talks about how much he's going to do for working people. He doesn't have the record to show that. Mr. Strickland, on the other hand, has been against these trade agreements, has fought, I think even voted against NAFTA, to my knowledge, and has stood up for working people his entire life. So I would urge working people to reconsider their decision to be supporting Senator Portman. He's not for you.
Well, I do want to spend 10 minutes on the presidential here, so Tanner, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think it's abundantly clear why Strickland is down in the polls, because he was a horrible governor and he was a horrible congressman. And I think that that's why people are leaning away towards Ted Strickland. And Rob Portman has fought extensively for Ohio jobs. Ohio jobs that Ted Strickland either lost or was on the brink of losing. I mean, Ted Strickland left 89 cents in the rainy day fund, which now at this date, the rainy day fund, which is the Ohio's budget surplus, is at $2 billion thanks to quality Republican leadership under Governor John Kasich. But Ted Strickland lost 350,000 jobs. Think he was 48th in the nation in job creation. And I thought that we were at a statute of limitations on how much we can blame Bush. But 47 other governors in the nation were able to figure out how to not lose as many jobs as Ted Strickland. So, I mean, this notion that this is Bush's fault is just, it's demagogue. It's not a legitimate argument. I mean, Bush is...
Well, the job losses under Governor Strickland's administration was directly due to the policies of George W. Bush when he pumped money, Chinese money, at an alarming rate into the economy. We created this housing bubble. Everybody knew it was coming, and instead of trying to do something about it, they just kept pumping money, kept building McMansions that no one could pay for, kept over-financing mortgages. People got caught up in it, and we suffered a lot in Ohio. And I say President Obama and Governor Strickland did what they could. During the time that Strickland was governor, we did an excellent job recruiting new businesses to Ohio. It was one of the number one states in the country.
Well, we had a funny way of showing it, because the jobs weren't leaving Ohio to India. They were leaving to Indiana. They were leaving to Georgia. It'd be one thing if the jobs were leaving the country, and some were, but some of them decided to pack up their bags and move to a different state because of the economic climate of Ohio. And that was directly under Ted Strickland's governorship. Taxes went up. Ted Strickland cut mental health services by 30%, and he left a lot of people staying in the shadows, and that's why Ted Strickland's record is coming up, because he was an awful governor, and we cannot send him back to the United States.
We almost beat Kasich. It was so bad, he almost won re-election, so he couldn't have been that bad.
So we get to the presidential election. He's down double digits 13 days. Does Strickland have much of a chance here?
Sure he does. I mean, like I said, if we can get some of these working people who think for some crazy reason Portman's going to help them to understand the issues, I think they'll end up voting for Ted.
I mean, saying that Ted Strickland has a chance to win this race is like saying the Democrats have a shot at winning Texas. It's not a plausible explanation. And I suppose that Donald Trump has a shot to win New Jersey because the recent polls showed up and he was down by four.
Let's talk about that for 10 minutes. Here we go. The presidential race, the most contentious presidential race in the history of presidential races, certainly in a long time. Thoughts, Steve? Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton?
Are you kidding me? Do we even talk about Donald Trump in the same sentence with Hillary Clinton? They don't even have any – that's night and day. They have no reason to even stand together. I thought it was interesting. I read the horoscopes. Hillary's a Scorpio and Donald's a Gemini. He's conflicted between being a little boy and a man. He can't decide what he wants to be. Hillary is a stone-cold policymaker who understands what's going on in government, has done it for 30 years, has made her life's ambition to do this. I mean, if anyone's fit to be in the presidency under this and the circumstances we're facing internationally and nationally, it's Hillary Clinton. It's no-brainer.
Donald Trump.
I support Donald Trump for president because I thought he's offered more substantive and comprehensive solutions to the race than any other candidate. I mean, what does Hillary Clinton stand for? I mean, her biggest policy is to expand Obamacare, which actually we just found out that premiums have hiked to up to 25%.
I'm ready to talk about health care if you want to get into health care.
I'd be more than happy to talk about health care, but, I mean, Donald Trump has offered serious insight. I mean, there's a legitimate plan. He wants to cut taxes across the board so more families can thrive. I mean, Hillary Clinton wants to raise taxes.
He didn't even know that his people weren't covered by Obamacare the other day at the golf place. He should know that. He's going to criticize Obamacare.
I want you to fundamentally explain to me, Mr. Chafin, as to why big government is going to work under Hillary Clinton's presidency. I mean, we've even seen big government try to take effect into health care and premiums rise by 25%.
Where do you get this big government at? You work part-time for the government, don't you?
That's false. I don't work for the government.
Okay, I thought you did.
No.
You work for their party. It's almost the same thing.
Okay, let's say this. As much as it is in the Strickland-Portman race, Portman ahead by double digits, presidential race is a little closer, but there are still polls that have Hillary Clinton ahead by 12. The ABC poll yesterday did. CNN poll had by 5 points, and even the Fox poll had her up by 2 points with 13 days left to go. But the important part is the Electoral College, because that's where it's won and lost.
That's right.
And in the Electoral College, He's not doing so well.
She's nailed. Virginia's nailed. They're walking away from Virginia.
They've even
nailed,
turned Florida to her now.
Well, I'm not worried about Florida. We're not worried about Florida. We're not worried about Ohio. We got Pennsylvania.
The last
Virginia.
Poll that came out, but had Donald Trump up by 2 in Florida.
We don't care about Florida. It won't matter. He could win Florida, Ohio, and he'll still lose the electoral college.
Just so
the
people know right now, the latest poll is that 307 would, if the election was held today, 307 would go to Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And I think it's 159 would go to Donald Trump securely. Mm-hmm. Ohio's still on the board. North Carolina's still on the board.
Florida.
And Utah's still on the board. Florida, they've tilted to her, but maybe they'll untilt it.
We're not going to lose Florida. We're not going to lose Ohio. I mean, there's not been many polls that show Hillary Clinton up in Ohio.
But now wait a second. Donald Trump wins Florida. Donald Trump wins Ohio. Donald Trump wins North Carolina. Donald Trump wins Utah. He still loses.
Right.
Well, Iowa has leaned towards Republican.
Still loses.
Then Nevada, he's off.
Still loses.
You got to turn
they
something
do not want to admit the fee here.
And then there's one more. I mean, and there's
New Hampshire,
different.
I think.
Who does he turn? What state does he turn that's deep blue? Because he's got to do that. Michigan, Wisconsin, nope. Pennsylvania. Nope. Which one's he going to turn?
Well, Wisconsin and Michigan and New Hampshire and Colorado, none of them are deep blue. In fact, Colorado polls.
Michigan's deep blue.
I wouldn't say it's deep blue because the last poll that came out had her up by 4.
Yeah, but you look historically, Tanner, you look historically over the years. Michigan
the
always votes Democratic.
Not on our side in general.
But as much as you were in favor of Portman's easy win, you got to admit it doesn't look good for Donald Trump if you're looking at the electoral
I think there's
map.
A steep hill to climb, but it's not a
It's a 13-day climb.
I mean,
it's
Nate
a done
Silver,
deal. Put
Nate,
a fork
Nate,
in it.
Nate Silver.
In fact, we've already got our tickets to Washington for January 20th to see Hillary sworn
I'm
in.
I'm so sorry.
Well, does it mean anything that...
Maybe you'll get to see Donald Trump.
I doubt it.
Does it mean anything... And I'm sorry it comes to the Republican on this, but that's the way it is. Republicans don't necessarily like this man. Former President George H.W. Bush has all but endorsed Hillary
Portman
Clinton.
Doesn't like him. Casey
Portman
doesn't like
has,
him.
Portman, the guy, has taken his support away from him. George W. Bush will not go out and campaign. Mitt Romney says he'll vote independent. And last Friday, Colin Powell finally came out and said he endorsed Hillary Clinton. Yeah. And the words he used, and I want to get the words here. Give me a minute here. I didn't know we were going directly to that, but the words... He called Donald Trump an unqualified charlatan and said that Hillary Clinton would do a – I want to get that word right because he used a very important word there, and we just had it up earlier on. He said that Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton, would do a would serve with distinction if elected. That's Colin Powell. The Columbus Dispatch has not endorsed a Republican – has not endorsed a Democrat since Woodrow Wilson, 100 years, they endorsed Hillary. The Cincinnati Inquirer,
every
over 100
major
years.
Major United States newspapers
USA
endorsed
Today
Hillary
has
Clinton.
Never done it. What happened here with Donald
Trump? So we're going to worry about politicians and newspapers, but not the people. We recognize Donald Trump had more votes in a Republican primary than anybody in history. And are we in a Republican primary. Are we going to definitively say that Mitt Romney, or Donald Trump's going to do worse than Mitt Romney? Because he's going to do worse than Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitt Romney didn't even hit 200 electoral votes. To say that he's not going to hit 200 electoral
Trump
votes?
Will?
I don't
I mean,
think
Mitt
will.
Romney couldn't win Nevada. He couldn't win Iowa. I mean, Donald Trump is on a closer path to winning Florida and Ohio than Romney was. So at the end of what does it matter? Who cares what the politicians say? I think that the American people are going to stand with Donald Trump. I think people recognize that Hillary Clinton, actually 60%, and this is a statistic I touted to you a long time ago, 60% of Americans associate Hillary Clinton with the word liar because she has never shown consistency in being square with the American people. And people know that. People cannot stand when their government is not square with them.
But why do people – what I do not understand is why do the people who should be with him, why aren't they? Even Paul Ryan, he called Paul Ryan a wimp and said he shouldn't be in that job. These are the people Republicans like. What happened?
Donald Trump is not a Republican. He was a Democrat most of his life. He doesn't believe in the core principles of the Republican Party. He said he was going to repeal Obamacare, but he doesn't have a plan. He said he was against abortion, but he says it's go to the states. I mean, he doesn't really understand what the Republican Party is about.
He does have a plan for addressing Obamacare, and we'll get to that in just one second. I mean, we talk about Donald Trump being a Republican. His gleaming opportunity to do that, and you were at the Republican National Convention,
Scott. I was.
I mean, we saw what the platform was, and it was the most conservative, most Republican-oriented platform we have ever seen in the history of our party. So if he wanted to flip this party and do something drastic with it, he had an opportunity to do that at the convention, and his delegates passed the most conservative platform that we've ever had. Going back to Obamacare, he has said that we need to repeal and replace Obamacare, which is something more Americans are getting on board with because they saw their premiums hike by up to 25%. But he has said that we need to go to a more market-based plan that's going to take away the lines around the state, make it more.
He supports single payer. He's on record saying he supports single payer. He doesn't know what he stands for.
He was a Manhattan businessman that had to get along with Democrats, and his opportunity to be a politician.
Look, you look at someone's record for 30 years, and you know where Hillary Clinton stands. You look at Donald Trump's record for 30 years, you got no idea what he's about.
Hillary Clinton supported NAFTA. Now she opposes it. I mean, what's... This is silly. I mean, Hillary Clinton has not shown a consistency to stand by any policies. 8 years ago, she opposed same-sex marriage. I mean, so if we want to paint this argument that Donald Trump doesn't stand where he is.
George Voinovich and many other, and Portman, many others.
Should he have said he wouldn't accept the outcome of the election and say he wants to keep
people... He said he would accept it if it's fair.
If
it's
he
great,
wins.
Why would he accept it?
If he wins is what he said.
Well, but everybody else has said they would accept it.
In the first presidential debate, Donald Trump said that he would accept it and that he would accept that he would support Hillary Clinton as the president of the United States. I mean, and that's something that we've seen.
That's good. I hope he shakes her hand.
Hillary Clinton said the same thing, and they've shook hands at every debate.
Why don't the polls reflect it? Why don't the poll? If we are talking here, the polls do say Hillary's got a major lead with 13 days left to go in the Electoral College.
The polls have fluctuated all throughout this cycle. There was a time where, I mean, you're touting 538 and Nate Silver. 3 weeks ago, Nate Silver said that there's a 57% chance Donald Trump was going to win the election.
If the polls don't agree
that the polls have been bad this year.
I mean, what does a likely voter mean? We've seen so many people come out of the woodwork.
And you know why that is? Because so many young people don't respond to polls and they're on their cell phones. It's harder and harder to get accurate
information. Hillary Clinton is astronomically worse with millennials and young people than Barack Obama was. And I think Mr. Chafin would agree with me on that. Would you say
I
so?
I think we have a problem reaching out to some young people, yes.
We're doing a better job now than we were earlier. I'm a young person. I think Hillary Clinton is
Well, they're turned off in general politics, unfortunately. Tanner, you're the exception, but I wish more young people would get involved.
I appreciate that.
If the polls don't matter, do the polls matter in the Portman-Strickland race?
I think that Rob Portman, as an incumbent, his track record to Ohio is what gets him elected, not necessarily what polls have to say. I believe all along that Rob Portman's going to win this race. So at the end of the day, American voters are going to vote how they vote, and I think that Donald Trump will win this election.
Steve?
Well, even though I think the polls have, you know, been unreliable in the past, I just think you look long term. Ever since the nomination, both parties put forth their candidates. Hillary's been leading in polls. The trends are up for her, and she's got solid leads in all the most important states. California, New York holds a heck of a lot of electoral votes, more than even Florida and Ohio. But some states like Virginia, which traditionally been Republican, is now solid. Pennsylvania, which is an important state, is now solid for us. All the upper Midwest states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, we're solid.
The average in Pennsylvania has always been between 3 to 4 points, which is within the margin of error. But I want to go back to something. And we talked about the U.S. Senate race before the presidential, and we recognize that Rob Portman doesn't have just like a 6 or 7 point lead, but 14, 15. There was even a poll that had him up by 21. Now, we don't really have a reason to believe that Portman's going to win this race by 21 points. But you said that you believe that Ted Strickland has a legitimate shot to win this race, and yet on the flip side, you're saying that Hillary Clinton's polls show why she's going to win this race. You can't have it both ways. I indicated Portman's going to win because of his efforts to save Ohio jobs, for him to fight in Washington and cut taxes and work to balance the budget. That's why Rob Portman's going to get reelected. I think Donald Trump's going to win because, I mean, if we want to use polls as an example, it's not a great example, but I think that Donald Trump is making headwaves in states that Romney and McCain and a lot of Republican candidates never put into play.
Is it hard to be a Republican in Ohio in this presidential year when the Senate candidate who you are supporting has said he no longer supports the presidential candidate, and our governor says he won't vote? Our Republican governor says he will not vote for that presidential candidate.
The bigger problem for Tanner and others is what are they going to do the day after the election when the Trump people are going to look for a place to go. Will they abandon the party and form a third party or something? That's going to be the bigger problem for Republicans.
Well, you were a Kasich supporter. The fact that he has said, I will not vote for this guy, he went back on the pledge, the Republican pledge.
And I fundamentally disagree with it. And the more I've seen this election, the more I've recognized the substantive disagreements I have with Governor Kasich on a lot of issues when it comes to trade and stance on Russia. And
so are you a Trump Republican or a Kasich Republican?
I'm a Republican that looks forward to electing candidates up and down
That's
the ballot.
That's a good question, Scott.
I mean, I really wonder that Kasich will be governor on November the 9th.
That's right. This isn't about politics. I want to answer your question. I'm a Republican that looks forward up and down the ballot to elect candidates that will make government smaller, not bigger, government that gives people more liberty and civil rights, rather than a government that makes it...
I'm with you. But now here's what I'm trying to ask an honest question.
Donald Trump's
going
to make government smaller. I'm going to support Donald Trump.
That's Donald Trump. That's fine.
Anarchy.
I'm not going to classify myself as a Trump Republican or a Kasich Republican because it's not about individuals. It's about principles. It's about policies.
If it's not about individuals and it's about policies, why is Kasich not supporting Trump?
I think his reasons are all personal.
Because he's fundamentally flawed as an individual.
Kasich's reasons are personal.
I think it's straight politics. I think it doesn't have anything to do. I mean, to say that there's a candidate that's running for president right now that exemplifies Kasich's values more than Trump is kind of clinically insane. But I think it stems from straight politics.
Here's the problem. Here's why that's a question.
Kasich wants to be president in 2020.
He does.
And I disagree with it.
You'd be a much better candidate than Donald Trump, I tell you that.
I don't have any intentions right now to support Kasich in 2020.
That's the quandary Republicans are in.
If he's the nominee for the party, assuming that the Democrats elect another big government politician, I'd be happy to support Kasich.
But here's the problem.
In the primary, I think there's a lot of different candidates that exemplify our values more than Governor Kasich.
Here's the problem. Because if Trump does not win, if you support Trump for the next 13 days and you say Trump is the guy, Kasich is fundamentally flawed on several issues that I didn't realize before.
I didn't say that.
What'd you say?
He's the one that said it was flawed.
What did you say?
I think I have a lot of substantive disagreements with Kasich on policies.
Kasich is still going to be in office on November 9th. If Trump is not the winner, Trump is probably going to go away from politics.
No.
You don't think he'll be in politics? You don't think he'll go to television?
I think he'll go to television, but I think he'll keep fomenting. They will be day one after Hillary trying to impeach her, and Trump will be right there on TV every day.
He'll never run for president again.
Well, I'm not saying that, Scott, but he could still have a lot of influence. Ross Perot had an influence. Many third-party candidates, and I think he's basically a third-party candidate, have a lot of influence over things afterwards.
But this is the problem, because there will be an autopsy for the losing party the next day.
They had one before, and they didn't follow it.
Well, that's... the Donald Trump effect, I guess. I don't know why they didn't follow. Why didn't they follow it, Tanner? Why didn't they do what they said they needed to do after Romney lost?
They couldn't
elaborate.
Get it done.
What's your question?
Well, the question was, they said, we need to appeal to Latinos. We need to appeal to women. We've got to get our things up, and they haven't done that.
They have a weak party chair, first of all. He can't get anything done within their party. They have a weak party leadership.
Here's why the Ohio – this would not be a problem if we were sitting –
at least we still have our chairman.
If we were sitting in Utah, this wouldn't be an issue.
You're rigged the campaign for Hillary
Clinton. Not the rigged one.
Here we go.
It's why she resigned, because she rigged it for Hillary Clinton.
Well, then, here's what I would say to that.
I'm not trying to echo the rigged campaign.
This is an impartial question. If Hillary can rig campaigns, why didn't she do it 8 years ago?
I mean, because the party fundamentally was swept up by Barack Obama. And Barack Obama ran one of the most
phenomenal...
Not just the party. Through the primary, we were talking about the primary, Barack Obama was able to make inroads with members of the Democratic National Committee, and he swept Americans off their feet, and he won at the ballot box.
Yeah.
And I think that and Hillary Clinton had the backing of the DNC. It was well documented that they were not fans of Bernie Sanders. The vice chair for the Democratic Party, the lovely congresswoman from Hawaii, was told that if she leaves, that she'll absolutely regret it.
Well, here's the thing.
Because she went on to endorse Senator Sanders.
For people who want to go on in the Republican Party after November 8th, here's the question, because Trump could win. I certainly don't have any doubt of that. Trump could win. Anything can happen in the night. Strickland could win. Anything can happen.
Hell could freeze over, too.
But that's exactly right. But all being said, here's the issue in Ohio, because it's very important, and we're very conflicted with our governor and our presidential candidate of the same party, and even our Senate candidate now, because he's went back on the support. The problem is that if you are a Republican in this state who's not currently holding office, and you are supporting Donald Trump, if he doesn't win on November 9th, you've still got the Republican governor. You possibly could have the Republican senator if Strickland does lose, and it does look that way right now. That being said, if that happens, do you just all of a sudden say, whoa, Donald Trump, that was a big mistake, and now Kasich is still a guy, and Portman's still a guy, and that's where we need to be?
It goes back to my answer to earlier. I defend Republicans, or any candidate for that matter, which is why I support Tom Edwards, up and down the ballot, that I think are going to govern on conservative principles and to govern on principles that are beneficial to the American people. Why can't they get along? Because politics. I mean, it's straight politics.
But they're the same party.
This is not a club. The Republican Party.
Give me a Democrat who has disavowed Hillary Clinton.
I think the Democrats have done a phenomenal job this year rallying around their candidates. I think Republicans are more inclined to kind of buck the system and not support a candidate they think that doesn't represent their values. I'm doing it right now in the prosecutor race, and it's not necessarily the most popular decision within establishment Republicans, but I did it because I want to support candidates that I think are going to represent my values the most. And I think
what does the state party say about that? They gave you any grief about not supporting Yeager?
No.
Okay.
No, okay.
Just
to be as fairly hard here, Hillary Clinton has high negatives too, not as high as Donald Trump, but she does have high negatives, and she is a woman. Will that play a part? Donald Trump is a phenomenon. People cannot not say it. Could he walk in there and win it more on Hillary's flaws than on Donald's successes?
I think Donald's successes is what made him popular in the first place, not counting Hillary's rhetoric.
But didn't his lingo also hurt him?
I like what the president said the other day about Hillary's concerns people have about Hillary. When you're in politics, as long as she's been in there with her husband and other people, and as much work as they've done, because they believe in certain things too and have tried to promote these things, people are going to take shots at you. That has a tendency to wear on people. Just like any local politician, you're in office. I'll give you an example. Judge Slagle, when he was the prosecutor, you'd get in office for so long, people start taking shots at you. Eventually, some ill will develops. Now, he came back, won. He's been a great judge. And Hillary's going to win this year. And you wait until – now, she had high favorabilities when she left Secretary of State's office. You wait until she's had some time to get in there, and they're going to have to cut deals with her. I don't care what you say. It'll destroy your party if you don't work with her after she's elected. They can't do what they did with Obama and say the first day they're going to try to destroy her. They're going to have to work with her to get things done. And when they do, and when people see that things are moving forward, her favorabilities are going to go way up again.
And this is something very interesting to me about this year, is that we have very good, strong, opinioned local races, and we have covered them all here with two people who are not running for office this year, and yet the most feeling and the most passion is still on the presidential race, not the locals, not the state. And that is why that's going to be very interesting to find the conclusion of this long, long, long presidential race, because everybody is so certain their candidate's going to win, and one of them is not.
Yeah,
people project their hopes and dreams in the presidential races. You know, that's all they think about, is how it's going to make life better for them. When in reality, they can have a lot more impact if they get involved with local stuff than the presidential. So I urge everybody to go to vote. Vote today.
Steve, here's how we're going to end this. Steve, say something nice about a Donald Trump presidency.
It'll be interesting. There'll be a lot of comedy. Saturday Night Live will have a great show every Saturday night.
That's not nice. A real nice one. Come on, I want a real nice compliment. So I'm asking Tanner. He knows where I'm coming next, and I want a nice one from him too. A nice Donald Trump president.
All right. I would say that there'll be certain aspects of the government that'll run more efficiently.
Okay,
I won't say which ones, but
Tanner, Hillary Clinton's elected. Something nice about a Hillary Clinton presidency.
Well, I think Hillary Clinton has an ability to reach people on regardless of where their political ideologues are at. And I think that Hillary Clinton, when she was a U.S. senator, she exemplified how she is not afraid to reach out to Republicans and Democrats to propose legislation that she's putting forward. And I think that it won't be any different if she's president.
I can only ask this because the incumbent's a Democrat. Hillary Clinton better than Barack Obama?
Oh, gosh. I think that they're both going to tie and being this catastrophic.
Steve, Hillary better than Barack Obama?
Because she knows more about government, has more of an approach towards making it work. I mean, President Obama is a great guy, but he didn't have any experience running
government. Yeah, President Obama in 2008 said that Hillary Clinton will do anything and change nothing, and now he said that she's the most qualified person to ever run, so he's either lying then or lying now.
Just because of the way it is, Tanner, because I really hope people do believe this, and it's just because, hey, we're all guys and Donald Trump's a guy, so it is that way. Women have only had the right to vote in this country for 96 years. The next president will be president during the term of Warren G. Harding, who was the first president who women had the right to vote for. Mm-hmm. First time a woman's won it. Will you on that day, if Hillary Clinton wins, I understand you don't want her to win. I understand she's not your party, but will there
so my
be...
candidate. It's not your candidate. Politics.
After people listen to this, I think they might disagree. But all that being said, if a woman is elected, is that something? Because I remember the morning after Barack Obama was elected. There were people who went on who were Republicans who bashed him for 3 months because they wanted John McCain. And there's nothing wrong with wanting John McCain. But when he won, they at least said, boy, this country has come a long way in under 100 years.
I mean, it has. I mean, I'd be clinically insane to say that it wouldn't be a major milestone to see a female become president. I think this is the wrong female we need to elect president.
I understand that.
But,
I understand
but,
that.
But, you know, nonetheless, it will be a major milestone. And I think it really does show that, I mean, I think this, it really is a testament to women all across this country that, look, you too can become president.
That's right.
And that you
think
can
about
fight.
The little girls in kindergarten now that are going to look up to this and say, yeah. I can be president. And the impact globally is going to have that have a female president is going to be just significant.
And the same thing with an African American. You know, when an African American became president, I mean, that was such a phenomenal milestone, and I think it really set the precedence.
I'm very proud to be associated with both campaigns. Thank you.
There we go.
And I am proud to not be associated with either of these campaigns.
Okay, Tanner Hale and Steve Chapin, what an interesting conversation it has been. It is always interesting. You know what? We're getting a call, and I'm going to take this even though we're way over on time because I think it's for something here. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead. Ask your question really quick.
You know, I sat there and concerned myself with Portman, and I wanted to ask the question, what has he really done? He recognized his son when he had his coming out ceremony, and he was on a super budgeting committee that in 6 months of it did nothing. I don't know, I don't much like Strickland either, but, I mean, he inherited an Ohio economy by Taft. Governor Taft sat there and sent us in the direction that we're in now, and he was a Republican, and he was an arrogant man. So, as far as things go, it's like sitting here wondering, as a Republican, should I vote for Strickland, who's an Ohio son, or should I just sit it out? But I'm not voting for Rob Portman.
Tanner, I believe that's to you.
Well, I recognize, you know, what you do in the ballot box is between you and the ballot box, and if you don't want to vote for Rob Portman, then that's certainly your right. And I would encourage you to vote for Rob Portman because I think Rob Portman is a fighter. I mean, we even saw recently with his CARA bill, the Comprehensive Addiction Recovery Act, where he got the bill passed, and it's a bill that was, you know, in such a necessity. Because what it does is it helps, you know, treat the heroin opiate addiction problem across the country. It helps you know, responders and be able to treat those that have overdosed, and that passed 92-2 in the United States Senate, which is unheard of. I mean, how many bills could someone particularly name that go that, you know, bipartisan? And it shows an testament that he's, you know, willing to work with others, and you know, his knowledge of the issue is really just astonishing because, you know, it took him 3 years to write this bill because he went around the state and across the country and talked with those, whether they were in, you know, whether they were first responders or whether they were, you know, members that have, you know, even overdosed or did something that was, you know, regrettable in their past. And I think that Rob Portman has shown that he's going to fight for Ohio workers. He's going to fight. While I do agree with you, actually, on his decision to go back on same-sex marriage shortly after he was elected, and I agree with you that that was a decision that shouldn't have been made. But I think that Rob Portman, overall, he's conservative on a lot of issues that matter to me and matter to Republicans, and I'll make the pitch that you should vote for Rob Portman.
And I just want to ask you, sir, if you'll please consider voting for Senator Strickland or future Senator Strickland, Governor Strickland. The Senate is right now so close, if the Democrats pick up 4 or 5 seats, the Democrats will have control. And I would just urge you to consider the fact that for the last few months, the Republicans have refused to even do their constitutional duty of putting someone else on the Supreme Court. They want to obstruct. So for no other reason, if you want to see government work, even minimally, you just need to elect Senator Strickland or Governor Strickland. Thank you.
Tanner Hale, Steve Chapin, and for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Regardless of the current rhetoric, would either of you name one positive thing